Your work is showing that we are consuming microscopic pieces of plastic all the time, with the food we eat, with the air we breathe, water, even bottled water. We're getting tiny pieces of plastic that get in our bloodstream, end up in our organs, causing inflammation and who knows what else. What should we do with this information?
I think the biggest thing for me is it's called extended corporate responsibility, which is that you know, when we go to the grocery store, we're not looking to buy a packaging. We're looking to buy the product that's inside of the packaging. We don't want the packaging. So the packaging really is owned by the company who's selling us the product. It's their responsibility. And kind of the best example of using extended corporate responsibility is, at least in New York State, is electronics recycling. So New York State, if you sell an electronic product, you have to accept it back for recycling. So Best Buy sells computers. Doesn't matter if you got your computer at Best Buy. If you have a computer that you need to be recycled, you can take it to a Best Buy, at least in New York State. And they have to accept it, and they have to recycle it, because it's their responsibility to take care of that product at the end of its useful life.
And you say maybe a similar system for plastic packaging.
So, and this is already kind of being implemented in this program it's called Loop. It's a program from TerraCycle. And basically, you know, the CEO of TerraCycle has convinced these companies that this is in fact true. Look, we don't want your packaging. We want your product. And you're constantly trying to lower the cost of the packaging because it cuts into your bottom line. Well, what if you think of it differently? If you own that packaging, if you actually put more money into that packaging and make it truly reusable, then you and I can both, it's a win-win for both situations.
Do you think consumers have the power if somehow this awareness and effort grew large enough? I mean, could it change
it? That's what exactly happened with the Microbeads Free Water Act. I mean, it really came down to the fact that people were upset that there was plastic in their face wash and their toothpaste, and they didn't want it there. They weren't asked. They didn't know it was there. And when they became aware of it, they just said, no, we don't want this. They were sending me products to use in my research, but they were sending them back to the manufacturers. You know, people, this was constantly in the news, and people were talking about it. They were posting about it on Facebook. Like, I don't want plastic in my toothpaste, thank you very much. You know, and industry heard that and responded. So, I mean, the fact that, you know, this Microbeads Free Water Act, it passed unanimously through a Republican-held Congress, which for an environmental legislation is miraculous, right? And why did that happen? Because it was already happening on the state-to-state levels, right? Eight states had already passed it. They all had different definitions. They all had different dates. They had all of these different things. And so industry was like, look, we know we need to do this anyway. Let's at least get one policy that's consistent across the entire United States. So they didn't fight against it, and it passed unanimously and got put into law. And I'm not completely anti-plastic. I think there are actually some good uses of plastic, right? I mean, so fuel efficiency of cars have increased because a large part of the car now is plastic, you know, and so it's lighter, makes it easier. So I think that there might be some uses of plastic that make sense, but the vast majority...
Durable plastic.
Durable plastics that are intended, you know, that are used, like in a lot of construction, there are plastics, but they're intended to be in existence for 50 to 100 years, you know, our buried pipelines, you know, that we rely upon to get our electricity or water, you know. So I think that they're that, but the vast majority of plastics, somewhere between 50 and 60% of the market, are these single-use disposable plastics that are completely unnecessary. They're used for minutes, but they're made out of a material that lasts for centuries. And that makes absolutely no sense. So that piece of the market, that's what we need to focus on, and that's what we need to get rid of. And so that's really where I encourage people to make those changes and to push for those changes to happen in a systemic fashion throughout our society.
Dr. Sherry Mason, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.